Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go.
Happy Wednesday, everyone, and welcome to the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills, a special emergency pod. When we have these ACC tournaments, we've got to go back to back. We've got to go back to back like the NC State Wolfpack. You know what I mean? Tuesday and Wednesday. And we had JC join us today, Eric McLean, Jordan Cornett, ESPN basketball analyst and football host galore. He does everything. And he is, I could listen to him talk about anything. I could listen to him talking about paint drying and I would be focused.
I have this app where I just have a bunch of things that he has recorded for me and I play that at night and it helps me fall asleep.
That's so smart.
Because it's so soothing, not boring. It's not boring at all. It's so soothing and calming and it just takes my mind other places. But before we jump into the guest intro in this interview, which was amazing, Jordan Cornett is the absolute legend of the ACC Network and ESPN. I want to tell you guys about our great friends over at Traeger. Guys, nothing beats the taste of food cooked over wood. It's an absolute fact. Traeger Grills has revolutionized outdoor cooking, and it starts by using their controlled convection heating system so you can literally cook anything on it. It's so simple to use. I just set the temperature and let my Traeger do all the hard work. The best thing about it is that things never get too smoky. They never get too dry or too charred, just like they used to with my old gas grill. Whatever I'm cooking, it comes out absolutely perfect. You can check it on your watch. You can check it on your phone, or you can be super, you know, fit and physical and walk out and actually look at the monitor right there. But there's so many different ways. Traeger makes it so easy for you guys. Find your local Traeger dealer today by visiting TraegerGrills.com/ACC.
All right, guys, it's time to talk to Jordan Cornett. He is one of our favorite people on the planet, and we are not exaggerating when we say that. He joined ESPN as a college basketball analyst in 2018 and has been an important part, a key cog in the ACC Network machine since its first day on air. He serves as the host of The Huddle, ACC Network signature football show featuring our very own Eric McLean, and breaks down college basketball all over the ESPN family of networks.
Guys, listen, Jordan played basketball at Notre Dame from 2001 to 2005. He was a two-time captain and still holds the program all-time leading shot blocker. He holds the career record there. He's going to tell you. His wife's going to tell you. I'm just kidding. But it is fun to always poke at him because everywhere he's introduced, that comes up. So it's a lot of fun with him. That's right. And you guys might also remember JC, if you don't remember him for that record, he was on our Clemson Notre Dame Homer pod right before the ACC football championship game. He's a great friend of mine. He's a great friend of Kelly's, all around great guy.
Let's talk some hoops with Jordan Cornett.
This week's guest is brought to you by Traeger Grills. Welcome to the Traegerhood. Jordan Cornett, my man, my brother, March is here. This is the best time of year. I know it's one of your favorites. Let's talk about these all ACC teams because Kelly has some issues. I don't really have issues. What do you think about that first five on the all ACC team?
Well, I guess my question would be bumping it back. Because, I mean, there's definitely some arguments to be made, but looking at the five, Kelly, what draws your ire where you're not okay with it?
So, I can't really make an argument against that first five. That's not my biggest issue, even though I thought Keve Aluma deserved to be somewhere. But I wouldn't take anyone off, necessarily. My main issue is that Carly Jones is the player of the year. And I think people got enamored with Moses Wright at the end of the season because he was putting up all these numbers in February and he was dunking on dudes and he was breaking rims and Georgia Tech was beating teams that they didn't normally beat. And people just got enamored with Moses Wright. But I feel like Carly Jones was player of the year because you look at the rest of that list, the only Louisville player to be found is David Johnson, honorable mention, barely. Carly had to do everything for Louisville.
But did Carly guard like Moses Wright? You're talking about an impact guy, a first team defensive guy as well.
And what? So you're Moses Wright. You're Moses Wright player of the year.
Oh, I got it. I mean, I voted for him.
All right.
Full transparency. And to be honest, Kelly and Emac, I didn't think twice about it. Like, to me, what he delivered consistently, and yeah, I think a statement is made, and we always talk about this in voting, is wait for these guys to finish a damn championship game in football or something so we know what their real value is. Well, in college basketball, I think we had that luxury of seeing how did you position your team towards March? And Moses Wright, when I absolutely needed it, played even more elevated of basketball. It said to me, man, this guy ain't a flash in a pan. This guy's not an opportunistic. He's not an opportunistic guy. He's not a front runner. He's delivering at the most important time. Give me all the flowers for Moses Wright. I feel good about it. Shame on you, Kelly.
I agree with you. And I think for those reasons that you said, I think it's one thing where, you know, we have our favorites, right? We kind of have the, okay, we have these three guys. We're looking at them all season long. Okay, they're delivering. They can do it. And then their team's kind of, you know, they're 500 or they're sub 500. It's like, well, we can't really give it to them. And then it's like, let's look at Moses Wright. And you're digging into these numbers and it's double-double here, double-double there, 30 points, 24 points. And just the consistency throughout the entire year, I think it was easy to overlook at first. But then these last 2 weeks, I mean, he's just been absolutely dominant.
Yeah, but you know where, Kelly, me and you can ride together? And, I mean, it's not all the way, but I do think that there's a little bit of disrespect. I heard your mini rant on Coach Brunell not getting the respect for Coach of the Year. And at first I was like, man, these two are always on that hope. But I thought about it, and I see a lot of parallels with Coach Brunell and Coach Mike Bray at Notre Dame before Coach Bray hit those Elite Eights, which kind of put him in that, oh, yeah, this guy can really flat-out coach. And maybe he's been disrespected. Coach Brunell's at that spot where Coach Bray was delivering 20-win season after 20-win season, was coaching at a football school and still had basketball relevant, was developing guys and playing a type of basketball that was above and beyond the expectation there. Like, let's be honest, with Notre Dame basketball and Clemson basketball, in a lot of ways, on the men's side, just don't embarrass us. Just kind of be out there for decent basketball. And Coach Bray exceeded that. Coach Brunell is exceeding that right now. I'd love to see him deliver in March, get one of those runs like Coach Bray's had to validate himself on a mainstream scale. There's no validation needed for Coach Brunell in the circles that matter. Former players like us, wannabe players like Eric McLean.
That's right.
But in all honesty, people that know, they know. But I would love for that validation to come on a broader scale. And I love that you tapped into that, Kelly, because I agree wholeheartedly.
I want to ask you about Mike Bray, but I have to add one more thing with Carlick Jones. Okay. If we're talking, I'm back to this. If we're talking most Mac brought up consistency. Consistency, Moses Wright was like nowhere to be found until the calendar turned to 2021. Carlick Jones was consistent from the jump. Now, defense is stupid. Sometimes I forget about defense. I understand that. But Carlick Jones had to show up every single night. Moses Wright has his running buddy in Jose Alvarado who can go out there and drop 25 like he did at Duke. So I still think there's an argument to be had. I feel like, though, and okay, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Cornette, because I know you voted for him because that's your guy and you know what you're doing and I don't doubt you at all. But I think some people thought, dang, Moses Wright has been killing it. I'm going to vote for him because I'm not sure anyone else really is. So this is the cool vote. This is the recent vote, but he's not really going to win. And then everyone did it. Do you see that?
I do. Well, you know what? I was surprised that he won it.
Yeah, me too.
That vote, there was a part of me, it's like, I know I'm doing the right thing. But I don't think this has been covered enough. You want to know why Georgia Tech lost to Georgia State and Mercer early on? By the way, two teams still alive in their tournaments. Well, they lost. I think Georgia State just won their conference tournament.
Mercer lost, but I think Georgia State. Mercer's good. I called a Mercer game. They're good.
Two very good teams, but Georgia Tech, after I come out on ACC Network and go, this team is about to be a top five team. I think they're better than Duke. I think they're better than North Carolina. EMAC, EJ, people were sending me hate texts, calling me out on it. I'm like, just watch. After they lost those games, people forget Georgia Tech wasn't practicing. So they had no rhythm. So Moses Wright, much like the rest of the team, didn't look like who he was supposed to be. And at the turn of the calendar year, I mean, you're talking about 2 months of a 2.5 month season. My man.
He was great for two months. He was just.
And also,
on fire.
Burley had a couple clunkers down the stretch, Kelly. You can't talk about consistency all the time.
He did.
For some single digit games, not bringing the defense that a guy like Moses brings. I ain't hating. I'm just saying that.
Here's the thing, though.
Differentiator for me.
Carlick had a couple clunkers because it's him and the seven dwarves. Like, what else what is he supposed to do?
Okay. I feel like this is Kelly, like, aired out some frustration with her back in the day.
This was me when Trevor didn't win the Heisman, when I just went
on
for
somehow I'm dying on the Carlick Jones Hill, which I never thought I would be on anyway.
Hold on, we got some star power in here.
Oh, big time.
Kelsey Riggs.
Oh,
Kelsey, come on.
Do you want to pay homage to the guy?
Yes. Get Kelsey Briggs on the podcast. Hi, what's up, Kelsey?
Hey, Chris.
What's up?
Welcome to the Gramlich and MacLane podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here and jump in on y'all's parade.
You know what Kelsey does? Kelsey like just interweaves in and out of different networks.
That's right.
She's amazing.
It's hard to keep up.
I'll be right back down. I'll hold my coffee. I'm going to go kill it on E1, E2. I'll be right back. That's how she rolls.
Yeah, you're one. I miss you guys.
Miss you.
Miss you, Kels. Absolutely. If we're talking ACC Network Player of the Year, it's Kelsey. I mean, that's easy.
It's hard.
That's easy.
Is there a better point guard?
I E-Mac. Thought we're doing that. That's the only reason I came in. So that you guys
smart. Kels, go get some of those peanut butter balls and mail them to me.
Oh, yeah. She wants some of the, what are they called? The energy balls?
The energy
ones. They're so good.
You know what? You know what ruined me with those? Our producer, Claire Atkins, who we all love too. Told me how like high and like fat.
No, I don't want to hear that.
I was like, no, they're energy. They're good for
you. They're good for
you. I don't want to hear anything else.
They have oats in them.
Yes, that makes them good for you.
Oh, I love it, man. That's honestly what I miss most. We've had a bunch of different people and we talk about, you know, how's this pandemic been affecting you and all this stuff. I miss that interaction that we just had and missing being around my teammates, the family, the producers, the PAs, everybody up in Bristol. So
yeah, but Emac, going back to what you're saying there, yeah, I mean that's the thing. It's like feels like it's slowly starting to come back, and there is the light at the end of the tunnel. And it's interesting that it's in March now because it's when the world shut down a year ago, and we all went down this dark, depressing path of what we've known to be this COVID era. But seeing these teams, we didn't think the ACC was going to put together a tournament, and here they are. All the teams are playing on both sides, men and women's. And we're moving towards an NCAA tournament, and you're starting to see limited fans. Vaccines are coming out. I fully believe next year when Notre Dame goes out and wins a national championship.
What sport?
Kelsey Riggs.
What sport?
Goodbye, Kelsey Riggs. What are you talking about?
Surprise appearance.
Yeah, bro. What sport? Did you say football?
Fencing?
Fencing?
JC, fencing? You're winning the national title in fencing?
Underwater basket weaving. All right, well, let's get back. I got to bring us all back here because we have very limited time with this superstar. All right, Kelly, I want you to take your host hat off for a second, and this question is going to go to both of you guys. Jordan, you're the guest, so I'm going to ask you first. Which team of these ACC, we'll call them powerhouses this year, not saying a lot, do you have the most faith in? FSU or UVA, who is the ACC regular season champion?
Isn't that crazy? Y'all are only going to give me two choices after Kelly talks about Carly Jones like he's Michael Jordan.
You're talking about Moses like he's Shaq.
I mean, most faith like, I mean, Final Four. I'm saying Final Four. Which of those two do you think, or do you have the most faith in to make the Final Four?
I think Virginia's ability to dictate how a game's going to be played can kind of put a squeeze hold on it and say, we're going to play in the 50s or 60s. You comfortable with that? Every possession matters. Their front line being able to knock down shots, leading the way, as opposed to those traditionally talented and successful, productive Virginia teams leading with their backcourt. I think they're good enough to get to a second weekend. Anything after that, you're playing with house money with Virginia. I don't look at them and say, Final Four team. I think there's a lot of teams markedly better than Virginia this year, but it's culture, it's Tony Bennett, and that's enough to get some tournament success and play into a second weekend. I look at Florida State and say, head-scratching what happened at Notre Dame. Notre Dame had all the reasons to want it. I still don't like who Florida State's been on the road, and that kind of defines teams in a tournament, fans or not. It's away from the confines of your own home. But again, culture and Coach Leonard Hamilton, who I voted for, to be quite honest, for Coach of the Year. I don't know how many votes he ended up garnering, but he got my vote. I'm willing to share that here because I believe what he's done is another sublime job with that group. I like them because they can score inside the arc. They can score beyond the arc. They spread it out. There's a bunch of different guys who can go for 15 plus. They can overwhelm you. They can defend. They're not very good on a backboard, especially defensively. But it's not on a Carly Jones. It's not on a couple guys here or there. It's anybody. And when you're I'm a guy that enjoys playing the game of chance. I like to bet on these things and project and predict. And in that regard, I've been ice cold, by the way. But it's not one guy you have to count on with Florida State. There's about seven or eight guys that can truly go out there and lift you in double figures with a special game. So I think Florida State can go to a Final Four depending on who the matchups are. They don't supersede matchups this year, but they're good enough that they have a good path where I could see them going to that Final Four.
Yeah, and before you answer, Kelly, Jordan, Kelly and I both agree in the fact that maybe it's almost too much, you know, being spread out. It's almost too much. The whole team is good. We don't have a go-to guy for Florida State.
Who's the alpha?
There's no alpha, really. Do you think, in your opinion, to get to that Final Four, they can keep doing what they're doing and have a different guy each game of the tournament be the leading scorer? Or does Scotty Barnes, who, in my opinion, has to step up and go Mamba mentality and take over? Do you think they can keep doing what they're doing, or somebody needs to step up?
Well, I think if you're going to go that route, as talented as Scotty Barnes is, I just think he's a jack of all trades. He can be the master of some, but MJ's got to be the alpha for them. MJ Walker, that is, has to be the guy that's going to say, give me the basketball. This is a frenzied time in the game. We've gone stale. We've gone stagnant. I'm going to go one-on-one. Scotty can do that, but if you're talking about consistently be that closer, I still feel like MJ Walker should have his hand in it as their senior and the guy who makes those decisions. Perennially, when you look at these Coach Hamilton teams, he has always gone to one of those elder statesmen. Trent Forrest has been the guy in years past because he was that senior and he has that credibility and he has the resume and the trust of his coach. That to say this, Coach Hamilton trusts all these guys. And I really do think there's never, even when I talk about Trent Forrest, he was never really an alpha. He was just another piece that had probably more confidence from coach than anybody. But these teams every year, they really haven't had that one alpha in Florida State, and they've been Gucci. So I really feel like they could still go on a run without that. It's a great point, Emac. It could be what prevents them from that run. But I'm confident in what they've done without one in these last few years to say, I don't know if it really matters.
Well, you certainly know better than me. All right, Kelly, your analyst time. I need to know.
Here's what I would say. They've been Gucci, but they haven't made a Final Four. So if that's the question, Tony Bennett has made a Final Four. That being said, I can't bet on this.
Kelly, what about last year?
No, I know. What if? I know. They could have made a Final Four. I would have had him in my Final Four. But unfortunately for them, which is very unfortunate, it didn't happen. And, you know, we said this about Virginia forever. They haven't done it yet. So when are they going to do it? And they did. Complete credit to Virginia. But I don't know. I feel like I'm arguing against Florida State, and I'm not. Florida State is the team that I trust the most. And it's more a knock on UVA, even though we had Mac, our dear friend, Jay Huff, on the pod, who was excellent. Big fan of Big Jay.
Notre Dame, I heard recently, too, for giving them that regular season championship. Because they
he should be thanking Notre Dame. There's no doubt. But I just feel like this Virginia team, their ceiling is not as high as Florida State's. I think Florida State's ceiling is higher. When you look at their talent top to bottom, when you look at their versatility, and then Scotty Barnes taking that next step. This is a team, too, that I'm going to guess Florida State's played like 20 games, right?
Yeah. Yep.
At this time, in a normal year, they would have played 32. And Scotty Barnes would be that much further down his progression as a superstar freshman. I think Florida State has the higher ceiling. I don't trust Virginia defensively is where I have some concerns. They're not the defensive team that they used to be. They don't have a Malcolm Brogdon or a DeAndre Hunter or a Diakite that I know is going to make plays for them defensively. Jay Huff can block shots, but I have a lot of questions there with UVA. And JC, I don't know how you feel about Kihei Clark. I feel some type of way about Kihei Clark as Mac is like getting out of the frame. I'm sure he's a great person. I have nothing against him. But I just feel like when he is a point guard that when he gets into the paint, when he gets even a foot in the paint, he is never, ever looking to score. And I don't know how you keep defenses honest if your point guard, when he attacks the basket, is never, ever looking to score.
Well, so, I mean, there is so much meat on the bone from everything you said there, Kelly, because there's a lot of great points. Defensively with Virginia, I get why you don't trust them. But if we dive into why that distrust lingers, it's because Virginia's had a system of defense that you're not going to get off the bench no matter if you can go for 50 if you're not going to defend in Coach Bennett's system. But think about the pieces. They're led by Jay Huff, been a part of that system, defensive first-team guy. I had him as my defensive player of the year. And another vote I'll let out there. Jose Alvarado deserving of it. Good for him. But Trey Murphy, immensely talented. Transfer from Rice. Hasn't been in this system. Doesn't know what it takes. Isn't fully, not necessarily bought in, but understanding of the concepts. Sam Hauser, stud. Wasn't there last year. is learning the how to work in this system and defend as well. Reese Beekman, a freshman, playing big-time minutes, learning how to defend. Too many new pieces in this Virginia lineup that play such big roles where these defensive lapses occur, where rotations are a step slower, where guys are getting beat off the blow-by. Now to go to the offensive side, as we're really piling on here, as you've thrown out the Kia Clark heat, I'll go into their offense, what the issue is there too. Kelly, you give you the ball, you make things happen. I do mine without the ball. I'm a defensive guy. I couldn't do anything with it if you handed it to me. So defensively, I look at how I would guard Virginia, and I'd say, switch everything, get up in those frontline guys that like to live beyond the arc, make them uncomfortable. Kia Clark, drink all the milk you want. You ain't going to hit the growth spurt needed to finish over the trees right in the paint. So at 5'9", go ahead in there with the big boys. Get your thing beat every time, and we'll take it the other way. He's not a 20-point
game. That's what game. FSU did.
Yeah, he's been stretched, and that's credit to him. This young man started as a freshman in the national championship game. He wasn't a top 100 recruit, and he delivered. But he's been stretched to be things that he quite simply is not, and that's just the way the team has been structured. Coach Bennett knows he's asking too much of him, and it's been exposed a little bit. And that's why I think they can only go so far to a point, which I believe a win would be the second weekend. I'm with you, Kelly.
I love it.
Look at that. We agree on something, JC. I love it. That's a really nice move for us.
All right, JC and Kelly agree. You know, I don't know if the world's going to shut down or what. We've already been shut down, so I guess we can't go anywhere.
Don't joke
else.
About that.
That's
Mac.
Right. scary hours, part two. Let's look at game four. I want to move on to the second round and look at this really is what is going to be a bubble game in Syracuse and NC State. JC, which one of these teams maybe deserves more of a bid? And what are you seeing in that game?
I really like how NC State's been playing. And, you know, we're neutral in this thing. I mean, I don't have a skin in the game, so to speak, with the two programs. But there's something about the attrition that Coach Keats' squad has faced this year where, you know, much like every team, you're replacing guys. But Markel Johnson was your program leader at the point guard spot. That was stability that was there. C.J. Bryce, another piece of that backcourt. Those guys go on to graduation. And you got to figure out who you are. And Devin Daniels becomes the lighthouse. And then he goes down with an ACL. And you have to reinvent yourself. And I really enjoy teams that continue to compete when they're down and out. And Jericho Helms elevated his game to the point where this team could still be competitive. Manny Bates is an elite rim protector. NC State decided, we're going to do the lion's share of our work inside the arc. We're going to try and get points and generate them inside the painted area. And they've done that. And no matter who the matchup is, and it really came to the forefront against Virginia, the team with their pack line defense, it takes everything away from the rim. And yet the pack said, well, we score at the rim. We're not going to change who we are because of the opposition. They did it. They won. And they've gone on a little bit of a stretch here where they played really good basketball. Syracuse, you got to knock down shots against their zone. Can the Pack do that consistently? It's a young perimeter that's grown up since Devin Daniels has left. I always look at Syracuse, and my analysis of them is, who's Buddy Boeheim going to be? Is he going to be Kelly Gramlich, or is he not going to be?
That's right. That's very true.
Are you going to knock down things when they come to you? Are you going to knock down those things? Or are you not going to knock down those things? Because Buddy is going to be the guy that ultimately leads this team if his shot making is there. They can get teams to say, meet us in the 80s when Buddy's delivering. I do need to see more toughness from them on the backboard. It's always something exposed with their zone. It's one of the worst zones that Boeheim's had in a while, but they're getting better there. I just need to know what kind of Buddy Boeheim we're going to see in that game. But I've been impressed with how the Pack have competed despite being down, and I've loved to watch the growth of guys like Cam Hayes, Sebron as well with that team, and kind of where they're going.
The Q zone is getting better. I thought they looked really good against Clemson. That zone was playing well in the Clemson win. Before we move on to the Clemson game, just tell me very quickly, JC, do you think either Syracuse or NC State is a NCAA tournament team?
I think they both, if they do some work here, I think there's definitely work to be done. I think there's a spot for them to steal with some momentum in this ACC tournament. That's why there's a lot of intrigue in it. I mean,
where are you leaning on that game?
If I'm leaning in that one, I'm leaning towards Pack. I'm leaning towards Pack.
Yeah.
I just think with their toughness, I think that this is a team that's going to compete out there, and I think they're going to make the necessary shots. And those guards are fearless getting into the paint, attacking the zone. You have to be aggressive against that zone. You play on your heels, you lose. They're a fearless bunch. Can they win the turnover margin? That decides a lot of it, too. But I like the Pack.
We're not really used to saying this, as you mentioned earlier with our Notre Dame discussion. Clemson is a tournament team. They're in. No bubble talk. at the beginning of March in Greensboro. It's kind of crazy. Clemson versus Miami. These two have played two close games, and Clemson had to win it at the buzzer down in Coral Gables in January. Do you feel like Clemson's going to get this done, or do you think Miami has some more magic left in them?
Always interesting with the tournament for a team that's played one already.
Yes, right? I agree.
Like, I do think there's something to that, especially I talk about teams that have faced attrition. If you talk to Coach Larrañaga and he runs through what they've been through this season, you're like, why are y'all still playing? Like, I would have just hung it up and been like, there's too much bad luck going here. But that team has kept their head down and worked. Isaiah Wong is a guy who says, give me the basketball and I'll make things happen. Auxiliary pieces really competed today in that win. Generated some turnovers down the stretch. I thought Pitt was careless with the basketball. And Miami made him pay. And teams that figure it out say, if you make mistakes, that's a door opening for us to capitalize. And they maxed out on points off turnovers, which was the separator in this game. I'm always curious, like I said, for a team that's played one. Clemson in February has turned the water off on everybody. They've been as good a defensive team as any in the conference and arguably one of the best in the country. They've also started knocking out threes consistently and putting it together. It needs to go through Amir Sims for this team to be good. Ultimately, I just think that they have more experience, more of a rhythm. They're as hot as any team right now. I think they've won 6 out of 7, this Clemson team. I like Clemson, but I'm telling you, having played that game, that plays a role. We always see it. Sometimes the inferior team with that rhythm goes out there and knocks off a team.
You mentioned UVA, second weekend tournament team, you think. Where would you put Clemson right now? Do you think they can get out of that first weekend? Just depends on the draw?
Just depends on the draw, but they make it uncomfortable. Like, they'll play in the mud. That's another team that says, let's go in the 60s. Are you okay with playing in the 60s? I always look at teams that do that and say, can you dictate the game being played that way? Are you going to slow it down? Are you going to make it a grinder? So I need to see the matchup for Clemson. But with how their guards have been playing, Alamir Dawes has been great here down the stretch. Amir Sims getting the flowers he deserves, an all-conference guy. I think if they keep defending like they have since Feb 1, they absolutely can get to the second weekend. I just like that they aren't a bubble team. They aren't playing one of those games. We remember in that ACC tournament, I still think of Elijah Thomas when it's like, oh, we win this first game in the ACC tournament. We're in. Cool, we won it. And they still didn't get in. Oh. So you would hate to see that happen. They're not in that position. I've heard anything from a 5 seed to an 8 seed for this Clemson team. It's all about matchup.
I can't wait to see it. And I think that this whole tournament, I mean, just we're going to see some crazy upsets. We're going to see some crazy matchups. We might have to sneak you back on here for a third time to really break down the entire tournament when that's revealed. But let's move on to this Louisville game. I'm going to assume that Duke is going to keep handling business. They're winning 60-38 right now as we're recording this. And
are they really?
They're blowing them out.
Yeah.
And so I'm assuming that they're going to.
They're making threes.
They're playing really well. Louisville beat Duke twice in the regular season. It's very hard to beat a team 3 times, especially this Duke team that maybe they're building some confidence. They're making some shots in Greensboro. What do you think is going to happen in this one, game 6?
Well, you know what? If I'm leaning into Kelly's analysis, which is always astute, maybe Carleigh Jones is upset. I would love to see Carleigh Jones and David Johnson at the same time put it together. Because when that happens...
So would Carleigh.
Rarely happens, yes. When that happens, they can compete with anybody. But they've got a versatile front line. Those guys can get out there and guard and do some of those things. But Duke may be able to out-tough them on the inside. If Duke can really bring their hard hat and their lunch pail, maybe that's where they win this game. But I like Louisville's rugged approach as well. It comes down to guards. Louisville has a better backcourt. They have an older backcourt. And in a game like this, I look at that to be the differentiator. Also, Matthew Hurt. I mean, stay out of foul trouble, bro. You're the closer. You're their guy. You're a first-team performer. You got to stay eligible for this team. And he stay clean and limit him. This has got to be the Louisville approach. And which backcourt's better? I lean towards Louisville, so I like them to do it a third time.
All right, JC, we'll get you out of here on this because I know you guys don't even know that JC is making time for us. He's heading over to Duke Studio. He's just the busiest man ever. And I also am going to clip that out where you say guard play is what matters and just kind of put that on a loop for you because it is true. Okay, we're recording this. Let's see. It's 6 o'clock Eastern on, what day is it, Mac? Tuesday. And North Carolina will play the winner of Notre Dame Wake. I think Notre Dame's going to beat Wake. You never know. It's March Madness. JC, I think, and I said this, I think, yesterday on our pod, that Notre Dame can make a little run here.
Come on, Kelly.
Beat Wake. We're just sucking up to each other. Beat Wake. Beat North Carolina because they'll be hot. They're feeling good. They're playing so well offensively. They're shooting the rock. We know UNC has the propensity to go 3 for 30 from three. Are you with me on this?
Hell yeah, I'm with you. I mean, you said I got to go. Let's talk for another 30.
That's right.
Let's go on. I do believe it because I've been waiting to see it all season. This is a junior nucleus that's played a lot of basketball together, and they should be closing out some of these games where they built these big leads. They've collapsed in the second half. That's why I've been critical of them, because older teams don't let that happen. Guys who play together as long as these guys shouldn't be letting that happen. That's a question of toughness, not talent. Talent's there. Backs against the wall. Coach Bray can't fire Mike Brown, your home floor, when you lose to NC State. Here's the thing that people don't know unless they played for Coach Bray. He's great with messages. And his message to that team before Florida State, it's why I said Notre Dame money line, book it. Because he came into that game in the practice that week and said to his team before they played Florida State, mind you, their last 28 games versus ranked teams, they were an 0 for 28 versus the last 28 ranked teams. He came in and said, let me be the lightning rod. Let everybody criticize me. You guys take any of that pressure, any of that emotion off of you, and just play basketball. And this group, they don't have that dominating guy. I don't like using the term alpha. I don't think that's it. It's just they don't have that big personality that says, oh, it's getting kind of tumultuous. Cool, I like this. They don't have those guys. So for Coach Bray to take that off of them, I think that message resonated. They came out and were loose. They were fiery. They were tough. And they took Florida State out of their game. I really think that was a needed game for them to go in here and go, see, this is who we can be. And maybe it doesn't lead us to March with an auto bid and win the ACC tournament, but at least we let people know Coach Bray is coming back because we can do something next year that we didn't do in this COVID era. So I think you're going to see them put together a string of games. I don't know if they can put together five, but I do know that they can make some kind of waves here because the talent is there. And when the toughness joins it, when those intersect, they can win games. Limit your turnovers, make shots, and that is the ticket to this Notre Dame team. And that is possible in every game down there in this ACC tournament.
It is. And I think Notre Dame is going to be a team to keep an eye on next year for sure.
Clip it.
Save it. Save it. Clip it. Post it. JC, you're a legend, man. The best host ever. Can't appreciate you, gratify you, all those things, man. You are the bomb. Shay's about to have a baby in like 10 days, 12 days. It's coming up, man.
We'll do that. Not 10 days. We got 8 more weeks. I'm not ready just yet.
Well, we're excited for you, man. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate you always. Wow, what a fun interview that was. Anytime we have Jordan Cornett on this show, it just things go by. I mean, we could have talked for 30, 40, 50, an hour. It wouldn't have mattered. Huge thank you to our Traeger Grills guest of the week, Jordan Cornett. Guys, do yourself a favor and go buy a Traeger Grill. I promise you, it is going to be life-changing for the better. And once you do that, you can go download their app. You can download it on your phone. You can download it on your watch. Or you can just go and follow them on social media at Traeger Grills. They are always posting fun, great recipes and ideas for inspiration. You guys will not want to miss out.
Have we ever realized that sentence rhymes? Do yourself a favor, go buy a Traeger.
Well, you know, I'm a poet and didn't know it, which is corny.
That is amazing. I think we need to sell that to Traeger.
You know, I'm a lyricist. It's what I do. I appreciate it.
That was excellent. And I'll remember it forever. Okay, this podcast is produced by our dear friend, Richmond Weaver. Check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your pods. It's a great interview podcast. He's had a lot of excellent guests. So check out that podcast, Rich Take on Sports, wherever you get your pods. Next week, we will have a bracket, Eric McLean. We'll break down everything you guys need to know from Selection Sunday for the men's side and Selection Monday on the women's side. We're probably going to have, I'm thinking, 7 ACC teams on the men's side at least, 8 at least on the women's, could bump to 9, or could bump to 8 on the men's, could bump to 9 on the women's. We're going to have so many teams to talk about. So get ready for a crazy next week as we're talking brackets.
There are two very sacred pieces of legislation in the American history. One is the Declaration of Independence. The other is an annual bracket that comes out.
Yes.
I cannot wait to see this thing, KG. It's going to be so much fun. Both tournaments on the men and women's side are going to be fantastic. But guys, that's it of this episode of Gramlich and McLane, brought to you by our great friends over at Traeger Grills. Thank you for listening. If you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating, write us a little review. We'd always appreciate that. But until next time, we'll see y'all.